Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Hey, we're here for a reason tonight, all right? Write that down in your notes. Say, I'm here for a reason. There's a reason I'm here, okay? And it's real simple. You're the purpose of God on your life. That's why you're here. You know what you're doing sitting here right now? You're not just sitting through church. You're not just going to hear a message. You just sing some songs. Hey, you guys, will you guys say hello to Sandy? Sandy, you mind standing up and saying hi to everybody? Say hi to Sandy. But you're here because of purpose. It's because of purpose. What's the purpose on your marriage? What's the purpose of your finances? What's the purpose for your children? See, if we're thinking about purpose, what's your purpose for your job? Well, my job's not fulfilling. It's because you don't understand purpose. And it doesn't matter what you're doing. Whatever you do it all as of unto the Lord. That's what the Bible says. I don't personally believe God has selected you for one vocation. There's some people say, man, I was born to pole vault. It's like, what are you talking about? You get to, how long do you pole vault? You pole vault like 5 or 6 years, and then you go do something else. So that doesn't mean you're born to pole vault. Let me just tell you, the idea of our life, I think about Jason Law. I think about Beth Law. I think about the purpose that's on their life. And let me tell you something. I'm humbled by that purpose. Your vocation, what you're doing, if everyone in here did, worked heartily as of unto the Lord, and they're not just clocking in and clocking out, working for the man, management. I hate management. If you don't have that kind of ideology, if your attitude is, I'm working as of unto the Lord, now you're stepping into purpose. Because God's got people for us to impact every single day. And what that requires, purpose requires one simple thing. It's our faithfulness. And you know why I know I can be faithful? Because I'm around faithful people, but let me just tell you, I can be faithful because God's faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful. Underline that, highlight it. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom you were called in the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation is overtaking you except which is common to man. But what? But God is faithful. Let me say it, God is faithful. See, the way this ought to be, and let me just tell you, and I don't think they were wrong. I just think it became a pattern that lost its juice. It lost its energy. But if every time I read God is faithful, if you stood on your feet and you threw a fist up or both fists up and said yes, let me just tell you, let's just try that one time, okay? I know it's going to be awkward. I'm going to go back and I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 10:13. You're going to hear the first sentence, and then after I say but, you get ready to spring to your feet and throw your fists up in the air and just see what happens in the room. All right? So here it is. No temptation has overtaken you except which is common to man. But God is faithful. See, God is faithful. It's awkward. But let me tell you, it changes things. I don't want you to do that anymore. I don't want to pastor that kind of church. People will come in and go, these people are whacked, okay? And let me just tell you, man, a lot of times the first impression gives that, so we don't want to confirm that with people. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted. Listen to this. God's not going to allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also give you an avenue of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Do you understand? That's the very first scripture that God gave me revelation of. Very first one. I remember I was reading that, and I'm like, wait a minute. And I'm telling you, I reread it. I read it again, and it's like, no temptation's overtaking except which is common to man. I'm a brand new Christian. All my life was temptation. But God is faithful. But God is faithful. But God is faithful. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. 2 Corinthians 1:18, but as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and amen. It was not yes and no, but God's promise is yes and amen. It's not yes and no. Man, if you're thinking about God's promise, if you're God, I've got an infirmity. God, I just thank you that by whose stripes I was healed, I received that healing in the name of Jesus. Now, don't receive any doubt in your heart. What you've done is you've taken authority over that, because you've spoken God's word. Let me tell you, in the spirit realm, there's a spirit realm and there's a natural realm. All right? In the spirit realm, when we speak God's word, when we read God's word, it has the same authority as when God speaks it. Because the way God speaks his word now is through people. Are you listening? That's why we're Christians. We're little Christs. So now the same authority that Jesus had, even as a 12-year-old boy in the temple, in the synagogue, they're saying, oh my gosh, he speaks with an authority that we've never heard of this before. That's how it is for you now. I mean, write this down in your notes. I've got it. I got it. I have this. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen. To the glory of God, what are the next two words? Through us. They're yes and amen for the glory of God. And most times, I'm telling you, we stop reading right there. But it doesn't stop. The most important thing in that verse is not the yes and amen part. It's the through us part. You get that? That's why Jesus went to the cross, is so that God could add those two words, through us. Establish in your heart and do it tonight. No more ifs, ands, or buts. No more wavering. No more negotiating. God is faithful. Period. End of subject. See, but what we've got to understand is what Jesus said was, he who has ears to hear, man, let him hear. See, remember that God gives us his promises as a seed. Okay? So with that seed, let me tell you, you can be cavalier and casual and just throw that thing in your pocket. You could get a pickup load full of seed. And you know what, man, you could put the tailgate down and you could throw the accelerator down and you could fly down the highway and that seed goes everywhere and your pickup truck is the bed of that truck's empty and clean and you're thinking, oh good, I sowed all that seed. No, you didn't. It has to be, listen, we go back to the first word. What was the first word that I said? Purpose. It's got to be purposeful. Are you listening to me? See, I think some people are like, well, let's just see if this works. That's not purpose. This isn't cavalier. This isn't casual. Man, we've got to look at this and we've got to say, let me tell you something. This is my life. Yeah, let me tell you, you got one shot at this life here on earth. And I hear people say, how many of you guys are going to heaven? Can I see your hands? You're going to heaven. Okay, so this earth's not that big a deal. I'll tell you what, to me it is. To me, I've talked to Pastor Sandy about this a lot. To her, this life is a big deal. You got one shot at it. And you know what? I believe there's eternal that determines things eternally how we live our lives here. And I think the biggest aspect is who we take with us to heaven. Yeah, you know what? Man, I got up Sunday and I said, listen, what faith is for me, it's overcoming adversity. What faith is for me is me being and staying in the right place. What faith is for me is me filling God's house, filling this church. Why? Because if we can fill this church, we can populate heaven. And I'm telling you, that boils down to what faith is for me, and that's essentially what's in my heart. I want to populate heaven. We're doing the Nightmare in October. And you know what? We're going to give people an opportunity to serve in the Nightmare. It's like, dear God, I hate that kind of language. Man, some of you fellas up here, guys that are sons in the ministry to me, you don't have a dadgum choice. You're at the Nightmare, or I'm going to come looking for you. That's a little different than giving them an opportunity to serve, isn't it? And nice isn't a fruit of the Spirit. I'm not all that nice. Why? Because it gives us an opportunity. We're going to throw that net out. Oh, but we fished all night and we've caught nothing. Man, there's got to be some trust at this point. We're doing the Nightmare 10 nights in October. Get over yourself and get there. Be there early. We got a bunch of teenagers there. So you know what? We need a bunch of hairy-legged fellas that are a show of force that doesn't give any knuckleheads an opportunity to try to grab one of our kids. And I'm not talking about grabbing them and taking them. I'm talking about just grabbing them. Oh, they never do that. Really? I've watched them. My daughters have been in there. Man, you know what? But I've got a great, instead of getting them in a headlock or choking them out, you know what I could do? I could just meet them in the ministry tent. Well, I don't want to pray. Well, I don't care what you want right now, son. But you touched something in there that's very valuable to me. It's very important to me. So you know what you're going to do? You're going to get on your face and believe God for Jesus to come into your heart. And what does the Bible say? Give them no choice. But see, we're doing the Nightmare. It's 10 nights. You should be there every dadgum night. Why wouldn't you be? What else you got to do? No, for real. What else you got to do? Your life is that big, it's that important, it's that full that you're going to let people just go through an opportunity for their lives to be changed forever. I run into people all the time and say, man, I got saved at one of your football camps. We hadn't done a football camp in over 26 years. Guys that say, man, I got saved at the Nightmare. Man, I got saved in a pregame of the biggest high school football game that I ever played in, bigger than I could ever imagine, in front of tens of thousands of people. And right before the game, we all took a knee in the locker room and you led me to Jesus with that whole team. I'm like, let me just tell you something. I don't need recreational marijuana. I don't. I don't need a keg of beer. I don't need a bottle of schnapps. I don't need some Jack Black. You know what I need is somebody just confessing Jesus every single opportunity we get. And we're throwing it. Let me just tell you, some of you guys have never led anybody to the Lord ever. We're giving the opportunity to lead hundreds to the Lord. And the Bible, let me tell you what it does in your life is you touch God's heart. He who wins souls is wise and shines as a star in the sky. Man, that's a star to God as a soul winner. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Remember, God gives us these promises in seed form. Seed, listen, it's potential and it's opportunity for increase and overflow. If you don't have increase and overflow in your life, it's because the seed hasn't been sown purposely in your life. I know, trust me, I've done this a long time. I know what I'm talking about here. How many of you guys agree with what I'm saying right now? It's got to be purposeful. Man, it can't just be, well, you know, I prayed and it didn't work. Are you dead? Are you kidding me? So you're the one that's going to step out of line and say God's unfaithful? Are you going to be that guy? See, our good ground receives the seed. Anything else can't. You've heard of the parable of soil. It's got to be good ground. We want to be good ground. Good ground isn't always found. Sometimes you find some good ground. Most times it's got to be made. Man, every time I get irritated, every time somebody's bugging me, you know what it is? Throwing some weeds in that ground in my heart. And I come in here and I receive the word with gladness and, man, I want all of God that I can get. Those weeds choke it off. It has to be tilled. It has to be weeded. Rocks have to be removed. And that's regularly in our life. My life has to be good ground to produce. It has to be, or my heart has to be made to be good for God. And we all can become good ground, all of us. Matthew 13, verse 8 says, but others fell on the ground, on good ground, and yielded a crop, some 100-fold. Listen to this language. When your heart's good ground, man, the seed tonight, the seed that falls in your heart, man, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Man, you think about 100-fold. You think about what those folds become. Man, it just multiplies. It ratchets it up. Verse 9 said, Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Actually, in the original text, it's he who has ears to hear, let him understand. That's where this whole thing starts. To become good ground that produces more than enough. It's just like John 15 says, the more fruit our lives bear, the more glory God gets. Man, we're producing fruit. That's why we work as of unto the Lord. Why? We're not work anybody. In verse 11 of Matthew 13, it says, he answered and said to them, because it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Man, when we're talking to people that don't know the Lord, man, we get it. They don't. You can't get it without him. The entrance, he comes into play. His entrance brings light. Are you getting this tonight? Please get it. You have ears to hear. You have ears to understand. God graces you to know what others see as mysteries. See, that's what God does. We make Jesus the Lord of our life. And what happens? God turns our heart from the power of Satan to the power of the living God. From darkness to light. Everybody say, from darkness to light. Say it again. Okay, now that light, why is there light? Because that light now allows us to receive God's word. The light. The darkness, man, it's a mystery to us. This doesn't make sense. See, that's why the devil, let me just tell you, the entry deception of the devil is he's gonna tell you that you don't understand this. When you read the word, you don't get it. All of us have had that lie. Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We're delivered from the power of darkness. We're delivered from that. We walk in the light now. We can see his promise, but we have to look it in. See, that's how this works. That's how purpose is. Man, if I throw a ball to you, no matter how great an athlete you are, how accomplished you are, you take your eye off that ball, you're not going to be able to catch it. If you do, it's a lucky catch. And I think there's enough people that have had enough lucky catches in their life that, you know what, it's not that big a deal for me to keep my eye on the ball. You got to keep your eye on the ball. And let me just tell you something else. You got to look it in. Isn't that right? Man, that ball's coming in. You got to look that thing in and you got to tuck it. And see, and that's how God's seed is. You got to look it in. You got to make sure it gets in there. Why? Because the Bible says that the sower, who's God, sows the word. That's all God's sowing. We're not doling out money in here. Man, we give groceries on Friday. Why? Because we want to get the word to people. Why? Because the sower sows the word. Anything else is not God. And we shouldn't expect to live the blessed life from God if we're expecting anything to be other than the word, other than the seed that God gives us. Everything we receive from God has to be sown into our lives through his word. Man, if you after church tonight, at the end of church, we're going to have people pray for people. Have people lay hands on people. People minister to people. It's all going to be the word. There's nothing else we have. Nothing that brings. We can't conjure this up. Man, we're not going to get in here and say, oh my gosh, my hands are starting to heat up. Get up here. I got to lay hands on people. Man, that's not what it is. It's all about the word. And seed, let me tell you what this seed represents. Even you people, let me tell you, that have served God for 20 and 30 years, this seed represents better life. That's what it represents. How many of you guys are good with better life? That's what the seed represents tonight. A better future. Seed has purpose when it's planted in good ground. And you know, that's why the Bible says don't throw a pearl before swine. Man, this is invaluable. This is pearls of great price, pearls of God of heaven. And what's interesting is this seed and purpose goes full circle. And the question is, and I believe this is daily, to receive from God every day, we've got to do what we can do to receive it. Man, if you're in habitual sin, man, we can't receive God's word. You know, when people come in, let me just tell you, when people come into church, and I understand people can suffer offense and things can happen and people can feel like they're not getting fed or whatever that is, okay? And it boils down that that's not the issue. It's something else that's in their life. It really is. There's no way you can read the word and pray every day the way I prayed at the beginning of the service and not have a better future. There's no way. unless there's something else in your life that's clogging things up. And I understand social media has given everybody a big range of opinion. But you know what? We receive this. We listen. You have ears to hear. That's how you get it, gain understanding. Man, you want to have a better marriage? Listen. I haven't been good at that sometimes, have I, Sandy? I haven't been a very good listener sometimes. I haven't. Man, there was one time I said, Sandy, whoa, you could dial it down a little. Just talk to me. She goes, Bill, I can't just talk to you right now. She said, I got to grab you by the ears and pull your head in and scream in your face for you to listen. I'm like, no, I'm all ears now. No, you're not. You got to prove it. It's going to take hours. It's going to take days. It's going to take weeks for you to prove it. Let me tell you, man, we got to be great listeners. Man, what's the world? Man, what are our neighbors saying? What are the schools? What are teachers saying? Man, teachers last spring, they were saying, man, nobody's in our corner. It's like, I'll be in your corner. I don't care. It's nothing for me. Man, African Americans, I'll be in your corner. I'll listen. I believe you have something to say. And I think that's the problem. We're not listening in our government right now. You look at our politics, nobody's listening. Everybody's just shouting. Man, if they're really separating families at the border, if they really are, we need to be sending teams down there to minister to those families, don't you think? But you know what? Man, we listen to debate. I'm not sure if they're separating them or not. But we have to listen. What do our police officers need? What do other churches need? What does the Hispanic community need here? Because I'll tell you what, all I want is them to be able to till their heart, weed it, remove the rocks, so that God can sow the word in it. That's all it boils down to. I don't need to get my way politically. I don't. Nothing that happens politically in America changes what I do in my life day in and day out. Nothing. I was fully prepared for Hillary Clinton to be our president the first week of November. Fully prepared for it. Ready to go. And then boom, it got flipped and Donald Trump became the president. Guess what? I'm still ready to go. Didn't change anything we were going to do. Nothing. Are you listening to me? But we're letting so many things dictate how we feel, how we look at things, how we trust. I'll just tell you this. You can trust the leadership of this church, even though you haven't been able to trust leadership in your home before. When you were a kid, you couldn't trust it in the workplace. But you know what? We could trust it in God's house. Because I'll tell you why. Judgment always starts in the house of God. But I'll just tell you this, I'm competitive enough. When we don't get it right, we're not going to keep not getting it right. We're going to get it right. Isn't that right? And that's all we have. That's how we live our lives. That's who we have to be. Did you get the seed sown in your heart tonight? Let me just ask you that. If it's not sufficient enough, we'll close the service. I'll get back up here and I'll minister the word some more. Man, I want you to get all of God you can get. But let me just tell you, to be able to receive it and then live it, you've got to have your heart. The ground of your heart has to be good ground. Ready to receive that word. Ready to receive that seed. And let me tell you, it'll be rightly divided and we'll keep those rows straight. Isn't that right, Charlie? That's how you do it. You keep those rows straight. Why? Because then it's simple. It's easy to harvest. And that's the life that I want you to live, is that harvesting life, right? God, we love you and we praise you. God, we thank you tonight that your word's yes and amen, because it's your promise. God, I thank you tonight that hearts are good ground for that seed to be able to be sown in people's hearts, to receive your word with gladness. God, I pray tonight for anybody whose life isn't right with you.